Another SmackDown here on this road to SummerSlam. John Cena actually showed up on the show tonight. Don't expect more of this. That was the only appearance you're getting here in the month of July. And he didn't really have much to say, but when the show was over tonight, he was actually laid out in the middle of the ring. And we now have a stipulation for the WWE title match. At SummerSlam, it will be Cody Rhodes, it will be John Cena. Of course, the way they arrived at this was completely preposterous. Forcing John Cena to sign a contract when the man was laid out unconscious in the middle of the ring. I don't think that would hold up in a court of law. But John Cena was trying to worm his way out of this match and saying, look, you know, I'm just mentally exhausted. And I just don't think it would be in my best interests physically to do this match, so we could push this off to another time. He was trying to push this match off to Paris. He was trying to push it off to Perth. Because again, his goal was, I'm going to retire as the champion and ruin wrestling. So he was doing everything in his power to basically run out the clock as much as possible. But it didn't work, and so they will be having a street fight at SummerSlam. And we also had a couple of new matches made for SummerSlam. One for the United States Championship, one for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Wait until you find out how that match was made. This was a one-match show, though. We had a number one contenders match for the WWE Tag Team titles, not for a SummerSlam match, for a match on SmackDown next week. And that was the only thing, in ring-wise, that was the only thing on this show you even have to pay attention to. Everything else on this show was basically throwaway. You know, outside of some of the actual angles they did. On the whole, you know, SmackDown was what SmackDown was. It was a decent show. I mean, there were parts of this show tonight where I found myself checking the clock. But then there were parts of the show that I liked. So it was fine. It was fine. It was not it will not knock your socks off or anything like that. But you can see, you know, things are in motion as far as other potential SummerSlam matches. We don't have the full card yet. A lot of matches, though, have come into view in a very short period of time. Because coming out of last weekend's very busy weekend, they have 3 weeks to build their second biggest show of the year, which, by the way, happens to be the first ever two-night SummerSlam. And in a short period of time, all the key matches are basically accounted for at this point. I think at this rate, where we are now, we're probably looking at another 4 or 5 matches that they need to add because they do have the two nights now. But when you look at the card for SummerSlam, it's a pretty solid card on the whole. But we'll get into the new matches that were made. We'll get into all the other things that happened here on this show. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review. This is how we end the week. It is Friday. It is July 18th, 2025. I am the Sala Monster. Also, fun little announcement here for those of you who are interested to know, this will not be the last live stream before Raw this Monday night, because believe it or not, I will be live on Sunday night to talk TNA Slammiversary. The phenomenal return of one AJ Styles, his first TNA appearance since 2013. And also, Trick Williams will be defending the NXT, or rather the TNA. He's an NXT star, but he'll be defending the TNA World Heavyweight Championship against Joe Hendry and Mike Santana. JC Jane, the NXT Women's Champion, in a winner-take-all match against the TNA Knockouts Champion, Masha Slamovich. And many more matches on the card as well, but all of the stories have been about that man in the middle right there, AJ Styles. It's a big deal. It's been a very long time since we've seen this man. TNA looks very different. It's not the same TNA that he left. There's no more Dixie. It's a very different company than the one he left over a decade ago, but for old time's sake, and there's no indication of exactly what he'll be doing, but for old time's sake, it's going to be a big deal. And don't forget, they're running the UBS Arena out on Long Island, which is a very big building, and they're not going to fill it, but there should be somewhere in the range of 6,000 or 7,000 fans. It may well end up being the biggest audience, the biggest live crowd in the history of TNA. And that promotion has been around for a very long time. I mean, it's kind of sad, actually, in a way, but I mean, yeah, this company's been around since 2002. You mean to tell me we can't get a crowd, at least the North American crowd anyway, of 10,000 people in 23 years? I mean, what are we doing here? But it's going to be a big event for them this weekend, and I will be here covering it. I do believe that will be my first live TNA review. I have talked about, I used to review TNA weekly for many years when I watched it on the podcast. But in terms of live streams, I do believe this will be a first. So hopefully you will join me for that. And we'll have some fun on Sunday nights. You get two podcasts in one day. Let's talk about this SmackDown show, shall we? We very abruptly went to the parking lot where there was a car accident involving the members of Solo Sikoa's family, the MFTs, Adam Pearce, who is filling in for Nick Aldis tonight, various law enforcement officials. They were on the scene to try to sort out exactly what the hell happened here. Solo Sikoa was there. Tala Tonga was there. The others were talking. Tonga Loa was bleeding from the eye. This fucking guy used to walk around with an eye patch. He's going to need another eye patch now. He already missed like 6 months. And he's out there bleeding from the eye. This guy can't catch a break. Cody Rhodes happened to walk by. And he goes over to Adam Pearce, talks about the contract signing he's going to be having later in the show with John Cena. You know, I will say this. I appreciate them doing a different kind of open than the one that we're used to getting every single week. They usually follow a very similar formula. Everyone's walking in, right? You got, who sings this song? Is it Cardi B? The song they use for SmackDown? I don't know if it's Cardi B or Sexy Red or whoever it is, but yeah, you get the music playing and everybody's arriving at the building. I think they should do that for everyone when they arrive at the office. I think no matter where you work, every time you arrive to work in the morning, this is what they should have. They should have cameras that are following you as you're walking in. You got your coffee, got your donut, got your backpack over your back. You're going to your desk. You're going to your cubicle. I think that would be interesting. Actually, that would not be very interesting. But we didn't get that. Right out to the parking lot, it was like mass panic and chaos. So it was nice to change things up a little bit. Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett, they checked in from the announce desk. And very quickly, we went to footage from earlier in the day of Alexa Bliss in the back. And she is holding her Lily doll. Buy the doll! We got to get the doll on TV so we could sell more dolls. Charlotte Flair shows up. And she informs Alexa that she spoke with Adam Pearce and got them a tag team title match at SummerSlam. Now, they're the right team. That's the right match to do. But I was not expecting that to be the way we get to the match. And even Alexa was like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you just walked into his office, asked for a match, and just like that, we have a tag team championship match? And she goes, well, I am still Charlotte Flair, you know. That she is. She's got some pull. So evidently she can be very persuasive. And just like that, we have our Women's Tag Team Championship match for SummerSlam. I wonder how the other teams who were in that fatal four-way at Evolution feel about the fact that these women are getting a title match just by asking for it. But then again, I guess Charlotte beat them to the punch. They were too slow. Who knew? That's all you had to do. Now, I should mention that in the background during this, you could see Julia, the United States champion, who was not, other than this, was not even on the show tonight. Julia was walking in the background, and with Julia, if you squinted your eyes and really looked closely, was Kiana James. We've not seen Kiana James on TV. It was very shortly after she made her Raw debut last year. She disappeared. And we heard about a knee injury, probably a torn ACL. I mean, what else is new? How many women from the Performance Center have torn their ACL? Probably all of them at this point. But she hurt her knee. She had surgery. She disappeared. The last time we saw her in the ring was June of last year. So she was in the background walking with Julia. She was also on Main Event tonight before SmackDown went on the air. She had a match against Meechan. So it's good to see her back. So we had Charlotte Flair against Raquel Rodriguez. This was our opening match here of the night. Roxanne Perez was at ringside, tried to sneak up on Charlotte after they ended up outside, but Alexa warded her off. This allowed Raquel to take advantage, and she tossed Flair into the ring post. That sent us into the first commercial break here of the night. JJP says, who? Kiana James. Yeah, I guess if you don't watch NXT, she wasn't really around on the main roster long enough for people to know who she is. So it's actually a fair question. But again, you wouldn't, if you didn't squint your eyes, you wouldn't even know. You probably would not have even noticed that she was in the background. I could tell just based on the way she dresses, I could tell who it is. So they came back from commercial with Raquel lifting Flair up in a modified torture rack submission. She also did her twisting Vader bomb. Charlotte recovered and began to light her up with chops, followed by a somersault clothesline. Charlotte delivered a German suplex and then headed up top. She connected on a crossbody. Raquel rolled through, though, and turned it into a tornado power slam for a near fall. Raquel tried to lift her up for the Tejana bomb. Charlotte, though, countered with a big boot. Roxanne tried to run distraction. Alexa was having none of this. And so she took advantage of this and hit Raquel with one of her pom-poms. I should explain this. So she hit her with, she was out there with pom-poms. Because in the back earlier, when Charlotte and Alexa were talking, Charlotte asked her to be in her corner tonight, to be her cheerleader. And so she took it literally, I guess, and she was out there with black pom-poms. So she threw it at Rock, and thankfully she didn't sell for this, because that would be ridiculous. But Flair rolled her up and got the win. Not much of a match. Not much of a match here. Charlotte, though, and Alexa, they continue to get great babyface reactions. While the explanation for how they're getting a tag team championship match is pretty lame, they are the right team to be in that spot. And if I'm WWE, I'm putting those titles on them. At SummerSlam, I think I would do the title change there. Now, Adam Pearce in the back was confronted by three police officers who were looking for one Jacob Fatu as a person of interest, they said, in their investigation about the car accident outside. So Pierce brought the cops over to Fatu, who was standing nearby. He wanted nothing to do with the cops. He was very standoffish. He didn't like how close they were getting to him. I mean, the man did three stints in jail before he even turned 18 years old. So you can kind of understand it. But he ended up going off with them to go answer their questions. This would be one of those show-long storylines, which is not a bad thing. They aired a video package showing Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill talking about their upcoming WWE Women's Championship match at SummerSlam. I got to be honest with you. I feel nothing for this match. My interest level is rock bottom for this match. I have no great enthusiasm to see these two get in the ring and have a match at SummerSlam. Now, compare that to my interest level and excitement level for the triple threat match for the Women's World Championship, where we have Rhea and Naomi and Io, especially after that match we got at Evolution with Rhea and Io. I mean, they could run that back every month for the rest of the year, as far as I'm concerned. My interest level far greater in that match than in this one here. I mean, it's like night and day. And I don't know what they can do between now and summer. I mean, there's so little time left. You can have an in-ring promo segment, but it's not really their strong suit, either one of them. I'm not even sure what they could really do to heat this up. It's just not a match that I am invested in or have a whole lot of interest in going into SummerSlam. Now, Cole and Barrett, they were discussing the ongoing situation after this with Ron Killings. Aleister Black and Damian Priest, there's a whole triangle going on here. It doesn't really involve Killings anymore. Killings was more like a means for them to get to Damian Priest and Aleister Black. Now, I wasn't here last week, so I didn't do a review of SmackDown. But there was a match between Killings and Black, which was cut short. It was severely cut short. And I think maybe it went 90 seconds. and Black lost. And that was the key for the backstage segment that followed later, where he gave Damian Priest the Black Mass kick in the back. So they're kind of recapping everything that's happened here. But then we go to earlier today. Damian Priest was searching for Aleister Black. Instead, he ran into Carmelo Hayes. And remember that guy, by the way? I should say, I don't know that everybody here actually remembers who this man even is. He's only the guy that won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal this year. For whatever that's worth. Which isn't much, obviously. But Priest asked him, hey, have you seen Aleister? And Hayes said no. And he said, and even if I had seen him, I wouldn't tell you. So Priest said, I don't know why I'm even bothering playing peacemaker these last few weeks. I'm the man who goes into the ring and gets business done. This led to Hayes, challenging Priest to a match on the show tonight, which is what we had next. It was Damian Priest one-on-one against Carmelo Hayes. Hayes got things started with a sneak attack as Priest was playing to the crowd, but Priest recovered very quickly with a big boot, long enough for him to finally get his jacket off. In the corner, Priest worked over Hayes with some strikes, sent him out of the ring with an elbow to the face. Outside, Hayes dropkicked Priest backwards into the ring post, and that took us into the commercial break. Late in the match, Hayes landed a springboard clothesline and started tuning up the band. They were in San Antonio, Texas tonight, which is the hometown of Shawn Michaels. And so he's tuning up the band, getting ready for some sweet chin music. Priest catches his foot. Hayes, though, delivers his own version of La Mystica. Also escapes a follow-up Razor's Edge attempt from Priest. Hayes heads up top. He hits a frog splash on Priest. Only gets a two count. So the battle spills outside. Priest slams Hayes across the announce desk. And then back in the ring, he tries to go for old school, right? Or his variation of Undertaker's old school. When Aleister Black, all of a sudden, there he is. He's on the apron. And he's in his spiffy black suit. And he's standing there and he's looking up at Damian Priest. And he trips him up, crotches him on the top rope for the disqualification. After the match, Black lays out Priest with a Black Mass kick. Hayes wisely makes his exit. See you next month, Carmelo. We won't be seeing him again for a little bit, I'm sure. Melo don't miss. Yes. Yes, Melo don't miss. Although he does miss many, many weeks of television. But Melo don't miss. This was starting to get good before the DQ finish. I do like the idea of a Black and Priest feud. You know, it's a fine mid-card feud. And because Damian Priest, he just has felt lost. You know, I mean, I know he's working with Drew McIntyre for a while, but ever since they moved him from Raw to SmackDown, he still has not regained that spark as a babyface that he had on Raw when he broke away from the Judgment Day. Because it really felt like, okay, this guy's really getting over as a big babyface now. He still is struggling, I think, to recapture that on Friday. And I don't know that this is the feud that will help him do that. But for Aleister Black, at least it gets him in the mix with somebody who's a former World Heavyweight Champion. Now it feels like he's in the middle of something meaningful, which is good. But boy, you know, Ron Killings, has he become an afterthought or not? I mean, come on now. You know, he came back with all this fanfare. People were like starting hashtag campaigns to get him back in the company. And they were so upset, you know, when he got fired or the way that he got released. And I mean, it's pretty clear why they brought him back. They brought him back to quell the storm because they got criticized from fans. They got criticized from talent internally. I'm sure they heard from a lot of people who were very upset about it. And so they brought him back and clearly they had no real plan for him. That much is obvious. Joe Tessitore, at this point, said, still to come on this electric and intriguing episode of SmackDown. I understand he's only doing his job, but the man's credibility dies a little bit more with each passing week. Yet to come, he said, the contract signing with John Cena and Cody Rhodes. But first, we were interrupted by a VHS-style vignette. With the Wyatt Six, they won the tag team titles last week off of the Street Profits. And then we see Uncle Howdy. But not only Uncle Howdy, they're all there. So we see Dexter Lumis, and we see Eric Rowan, and we see Joe Gacy, and we see Nikki Cross. They're all there. The gang's all here. And they're all getting time to talk. Uncle Howdy said they were where they belonged. Lumis said the Street Profits' bond was only held together by their lust for gold. Rowan said that a new family has been forged that is not defined by the blood they share. Gacy talked about stripping the teams of their wicked desires and burning their vanity. Blah, 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 whatever. I mean, at least they got time to talk. I didn't really think much about what they were saying, but at least they actually had time to talk, and hopefully we'll get to hear more of this in the future instead of just hearing Uncle Howdy, you know, cackling and with his distorted voice and saying the usual things that Uncle Howdy says. After this, the MFTs and the United States champion Solo Sikoa were on their way to the ring. Solo Sikoa, JC Mateo, Tonga Loa, Talatonga, all on their way down to the ring. Solo said that tonight was the perfect example of how Jacob Fatu really is. He said Jacob doesn't listen to anybody, only cares about himself. He gave Fatu the world, he made him a champion. Solo said that Fatu deserves none of it. Said Fatu was selfish and betrayed the only family he ever known. Once a criminal, always a criminal, he said. So all of a sudden, a police SUV is shown on the big screen arriving backstage. Jimmy Uso is standing there waiting for whoever is going to be coming out of this thing to come out. Jacob Fatu exits the back of the SUV, and one of the rent-a-cops, who we saw on screen earlier in the show, who wanted to question Jacob Fatu as a person of interest, and I would love for somebody to try to find out which independent promotion this guy works for. This particular cop also exits the vehicle. He apologizes. The cops apologized to Jacob Fatu, saying that he was cleared as a person of interest after they reviewed the footage. And Fatu called them punk-ass police, and he began his march to the ring. As Fatu was making his way down, Jimmy Uso got the drop on the MFTs with an ambush. Fatu and Uso, they laid waste to all of them until Talatonga pulled Jimmy out of the ring. Looked like he was about to chokeslam him through the announce table. Fatu, though, flew out of the ring with a dive to stop that from happening. But then after a few seconds, Talatonga recovered. He rose. Like, Jacob Fatu is having that, I hate to say it. It looks like he's having a stroke or some kind of being possessed by a demon or something. You know, he starts shaking and everything and everybody starts cheering. But in the background behind him, behind the announce desk, we see Talatonga rise like a sea monster back to his feet. And he turns around and he realizes that Talatonga is back on his feet. But he eventually gets taken down by a double super kick from Jacob and Jimmy. There was a crossbody by Jimmy that took Talatonga out over the timekeeper's barricade down to the concrete floor. Fatu attacked Solo Sikoa inside the ring and was about to hit a running hip attack to Solo, who was down with a chair wrapped around his neck, when JC Mateo intercepted Fatu. That gave Solo enough time to escape. Fatu and Solo proceeded to take out their frustrations on JC Mateo and poor Tonga Loa with a chair. Adam Pearce came out on stage, and he asked Solo if he was trying to frame an innocent man and get Fatu locked up. Pearce said that they would see how Solo likes it, and he announced that at SummerSlam, Solo Sikoa will have to defend his United States Championship against Jacob Fatu, but it will not be any ordinary match. It will be inside of a steel cage. And Pearce had the cops come out, and he told them, "He's all yours." And Solo tried to point the cops to Fatu, but they handcuffed him instead, and they escorted him to the back. Again, Solo Sikoa has these moments. He's actually very funny. The one good thing about the Solo Sikoa we see now is compared to the way he would have been, I don't know, a year and a half ago, is that now we can see more of his personality, and he's actually a genuinely funny guy. And this was one of those situations, because as the cops are coming down the aisle, he figures they're going down to arrest Jacob. He goes, "There he is, guys." He's pointing him out. He's acting all goofy. And of course, the cops get to him. And as he's pointing, they grab his hand and they put him behind his back and they handcuff him instead. And he starts to freak out. So I thought that was entertaining. It's been a minute since we've had an arrest angle, I feel like, on a wrestling show here on TV. Fatu came off well here. I mean, the fans were very receptive. Obviously, he's super over. But after he got out of the SUV backstage and he started the march down to the ring, they were chanting his name. Like, they were ready for him to come out there. So they're still solidly behind him. Solo tried to get him locked up. So now he's the one who's going to be locked up with Jacob. Only makes sense. Inside a cage at SummerSlam. You know, I would sit here and tell you guys that it's also to keep out the MFTs, but yeah, fat chance that's going to happen. This Timu bloodline, though. I mean, they come out there every single week. And but for the odd week here and there where maybe they get to stand tall, they sure do get their asses kicked an awful lot. Like, if they're supposed to be an intimidating group, I mean, you got Tongaloa in there, for God's sakes, but they're supposed to be an intimidating group. They're not doing a very good job. They may be the least intimidating group that I have seen in this company in years. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Whether you work crazy hours at the office, or maybe you work with people you don't like, maybe you don't even work in an office, right? You do manual labor of some kind that's physically taxing, whatever it may be. You may be dealing with a lot of stress. Workplace stress is now one of the top causes of declining mental health, with a whopping 61% of the global workforce experiencing higher than normal levels of stress. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have the freedom to just wave goodbye to the stress to go do something else, but you can start to focus more on your wellness. When I get stressed, I may go for a long walk, I may hit the gym, pick up my little retro gaming console and play for 20 minutes. But these things aren't a long-term solution to regular stress. Therapy can help you navigate whatever challenges the workday might bring. Therapy offers lots of benefits for your mental health, from coping skills to stress management, teaching you the skills to strengthen your relationships and remove barriers to forming new ones. It can also help you cope with and overcome issues stemming from past trauma of some kind, no matter how big or small. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people across the globe. And many of those people can attest to how much it's worked for them, which is why BetterHelp has an App Store rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client reviews. It's also convenient, allowing you to join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, and you can switch therapists at any time. BetterHelp makes it all very simple. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Unwind from work with BetterHelp. Sound Off listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. We got a recap of a brawl that broke out on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Yes, if you have not seen it, and I'm sure most of you have by now. There was an angle they shot on Wednesday night, and it was great publicity for WWE. Jelly Roll was standing in for Jimmy Kimmel and guest hosting his show late night on ABC. He had Randy Orton on as his guest. Drew McIntyre interrupted the interview. He ended up brawling offset with Orton. Logan Paul showed up. He insulted Jelly Roll. He slapped him in the face. And Jelly Roll chokeslammed him through what looked like a cardboard table, the desk in front of him. And then he got in a quick plug, did Jelly Roll, at the end for the tag match coming up at SummerSlam. This guy's already a worker. So for WWE, they got some great mainstream publicity out of it, even though it was a pretty goofy angle the way it came off. But they replayed that whole thing. All four of them will be on SmackDown next week. So I don't know if they said what they were going to be doing, but they will be on the show next week. They're going to be in Cleveland, which is where Logan is from. Stephanie Vaquer graced our television screens. A rare appearance here on a Friday, even though she is a Monday Night Raw talent. No mention of anything. She's just on SmackDown. Okay. All right. That doesn't matter anymore. She was in action against Alba Fire. Representing Chelsea Green's Secret Hervis, Piper Niven was there. Chelsea Green was not there. We got to see the Devil's Kiss, to the delight of all the fans and the announcers and podcasters. Alba attempted a gory special. Vaquer countered and finished things off with the SVB across the knee. for the quick win. After the match, Piper Niven attacked Stephanie and looked to hit her Viper Bomb, but Vicar got out of the way and then pushed her off the ropes and she fell to the floor. She tried to get back in. She got super kicked back out to the floor. This went 90 seconds. It was not even worth booking Stephanie's airfare to get her to the show. Other than the fact that she got to do the Devil's Kiss. So I guess it was worth it for that, for all the people who love to see her do the Devil's Kiss. But this just felt like a waste of time to me. Backstage, the Street Profits were asked by Kathy Kelly about their loss last week, losing the WWE tag team titles to the Wyatt Six. They said that the Wyatts as the champs is not really a reality that they want to face, and they're going to be coming for those titles again. DIY showed up and mocked them for losing last week, and they headed out for the next match, which was a fatal four-way number one contenders match with the Motor City Machine Guns, DIY, Fraxium, and the team of Andrade and Rey Fénix. Sabin and Nathan Frazier, they started things off with some acrobatics until DIY snuck in and attacked both men. This prompted Andrade and Fénix to enter the fray. Things broke down. Fraxium intercepted the two with super kicks. They tried for a dive of their own. The Machine Guns pulled Frazier and Axiom out of the ring and ended up getting their own dives in on Gargano and Ciampa to the outside. At that point, we took a break in the action. They came back with Shelley and Sabin fending off DIY as Axiom tagged himself into the match. Axiom and Frazier proceeded to get their shit in with dives on all of their opponents. A modified total elimination nearly brought Fraxium the win. Andrade, though, interrupted and got himself into the match with a tag. Fénix tagged in, got a nice pop, too, for tagging in. Nailed Axiom with a spinning kick in the corner, followed by the Three Amigos on Frazier. Frog splash by Fénix. Saw the pin interrupted by the Machine Guns. Things broke down again between all four teams as they brawled. DIY tagged themselves in. They took out Fénix and Andrade as a Project Ciampa on Axiom could not put an end to this match. Now, we got a picture-in-picture break. And during the break, Axiom and Ciampa, they head up top together. And they are jockeying for position. But eventually, Ciampa hits Axiom with an avalanche air raid crash onto the pile of bodies. Only they didn't really catch them. So that landing looked like it sucked. I don't know how you have all those people out there and these two guys barely get caught. Like, how does that even happen? There's this massive humanity outside the ring. They're all pooled together. How is that possible? So later in the match, the Guns tried for Skull and Bones, but Andrade breaks it up, tags in. Andrade disposes of Chris Sabin, then heads up top for a moonsault, but Axiom kicks him. Axiom goes up top, Frazier tags in. Axiom hits the Spanish Fly. Frazier follows with the Fénix Splash. Ciampa, though, tags in. He tries to steal the pin, but here's Fénix to break things up. Fénix then delivered a corkscrew plancha onto the pile outside. Ciampa's in the ring all alone. And Andrade tries for the message. Candice LeRae, though, gets up on the apron for the distraction. And Andrade, stupidly, goes over to the referees looking at her. Oh, do something about her. Meanwhile, he's got his back turned to Ciampa. So, of course, Ciampa rolls him up for a two count. Ciampa holds Andrade for Johnny Gargano, who accidentally super kicks his partner. Andrade then kills him with the spinning back elbow. Fénix dives onto Johnny outside. And Andrade finishes things off, I should say, with the message to win it for their team. A match so good that Tony Khan was tempted to add the All-Star label to it. But he couldn't. But he wanted to, I'll bet. This was a very good sprint for the 15 minutes that they got. And when I said at the beginning of the review that this was a one-match show, this was the one match that I was referring to. If there was one thing on this show, you said Solid Monster, is there anything I really need to go back and watch on SmackDown tonight? This is it. I honestly wouldn't point you to anything else. Like, if you watched the show, there were certain things that were good, but nothing that I would say, man, you got to go back and take 10, 15 minutes to go check this out. This is it right here. You're welcome. This is a very good tag team match. Phoenix and Andrade, they really have become this must-see combo together in the tag team division. It's still weird to me, though, to have Phoenix and Penta in the same company, and just if he's going to be doing a tag team thing, that it's not his brother. But they're still a really good team, and if this is the way that they get themselves on TV, then so be it, because it's working and the fans respond to them. So we'll see however long it lasts for. And they're going to get their tag team title match, not at SummerSlam, but on SmackDown next Friday night. Maddie says, so no cash prize? You know, I saw there's another cash prize match on Collision tomorrow night. There's a $200,000 tag team. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But yes, there was no purse money. There was no prize money on the line here in this match. I'll tell you what I hope we get. Honestly, I hope we get a multi-team tag team title match from the SmackDown side at SummerSlam. These guys were left off the card at WrestleMania. They had a two-night WrestleMania, and it worked out okay because they got the main event spot to themselves on SmackDown. What was it, the following week maybe, or 2 weeks later? And they killed it, right, with that TLC match that they had. Now you have a two-night SummerSlam. They deserve a spot on the card. So I hope they get it. It may just be all the teams kind of smushed together in the same match, if that's what it is. So be it. If they want to run back another TLC match, I guess is maybe what it might end up being. So be it. But, I mean, it would suck to have another big two-night show like this with all these teams, you know, rocking and rolling and doing what they're doing and still not find time for them on that show. I think that would be pretty ridiculous. And we've already come to the end of the show, if you can believe it. We're speeding through SmackDown here. I told you. I mean, there's, you know, certain things happen, but like nothing groundbreaking here. We got to the main event, which was a contract signing for the main event of SummerSlam. And Adam Pearce was in the ring. This was for the WWE Championship match at SummerSlam. Your night two, I'm sure, night two main event. Adam Pearce was in the ring to introduce the challenger, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. And you could actually hear some audible boos from the crowd in Texas. Cody got into the ring, immediately signed the contract. He did not waste any time. And he asked San Antonio, what do you want to talk about? He talked about appreciation, about being made to feel like a Texan, said that his father was a Texan, his brother is a Texan. Rhodes talked about a social media post that was overanalyzed, but the message was clear. Do not flinch, and thanks for coming along on the ride. So basically what happened is he tweeted something. I might have been earlier in the week or last week. I don't remember when it was. But he, in the tweet, he said, don't flinch. Thank you all for riding with me all this time. Love you for it. Excited for what we do next. So this is what he was referring to when he said that there was a post that was being overanalyzed by everybody. He talked about how he didn't flinch for his return. He didn't flinch when he fought with a torn pec. He didn't flinch when he fought the Beast. He didn't flinch when he fought his best friend, or when the final boss came for his spot and his soul. But he flinched at WrestleMania when he lost to John Cena. Cody said that it was an unenviable task to be the one to take it away from one of the most beloved wrestlers in our game, but this was very important for him. So at this point, we had John Cena making his way down to the ring. Senator Rhodes, and Tran says, Senator Rhodes. Well, Senator or Governor, take your pick. It will happen one day. John Cena comes out. We haven't seen him in, probably since Saudi Arabia. He gets into the ring, and he's very serious. He immediately takes a seat, and he tells Cody, please, sit down. They have a table in the ring with the contract binder on it. He said he had some bad news. He is not going to be at SummerSlam. And everybody boos because they don't like this. They don't like what's about to happen here. It says everybody knows that he is filming a big movie for Netflix right now in New York City. We talked. we being him in management, him and the executives, Netflix, everybody. We've talked. Things have been very transparent. I am emotionally exhausted. And we all agree that it is best that I not physically compete at SummerSlam. But he said Cody still deserves his title match. He'll get his rematch, right? He is the king of the ring after all. And he goes, you'll get it. Maybe in Paris, maybe in Perth, which is coming up in October. But there's no way in good conscience that I could sign this contract. I'm sorry, there's just nothing that I can do. He says, it's a tough choice to make, but we all talked and we all realize how hard I've been working, and this is what's best for business right now. Cena stands up. He says, guys, look, you don't even know how hard it was for me to be here tonight. He wanted to give the fans fireworks. He wanted to give them a night to remember, but physically, emotionally, this is all he can give us. He thanks the fans. He appreciates their understanding and patience. He closes the contract binder. He thanks Cody. He promises that he'll get his rematch. Thank you, San Antonio. And with that, he exits the ring. Cody removes his jacket. He also exits the ring. He runs Cena down in the aisle, immediately starts kicking his ass. So they fight back down to the ring, and Cena reverses him into the ring steps. He throws Cody back inside, grabs his belt, brings it back inside with him. He goes to blast Cody with the WWE Championship. But Cody ducks the shot, and now Cody has the title, and this time he did not flinch as he did at WrestleMania. This time he actually hits Cena with the belt, kind of, not really. I don't think that belt made any contact whatsoever with John Cena, but that was the idea anyway, that he was hitting him with the belt. Then he clears off the table, and he very gently rolls Cena onto it. He grabs the contract binder, and he heads up to the top rope with it. He's got the binder in his hand as he is climbing to the top rope. And he comes flying off the top with a giant splash. And he puts Cena through the table. And this is where this segment... this segment now became a cartoon at this point. This segment went to Looney Tunes land. Because he grabs the pen out of the binder. He forces it into John Cena's hand, and he forces him. He is holding his hand, and he forces him to sign his name to the contract to make their match official for SummerSlam. This is all on camera. This is live television in front of probably 1.5 million people, or however many people are watching on USA these days, right? They're not getting 2 million a week like they were on Fox, but there's a lot of people watching this show. And this contract was clearly signed under duress. It is therefore null and void. There is not a prayer that this will stand up in court. But in WWE, I mean, they have their own legal system. People are trying to murder each other, hit and runs, all kinds of crazy shit happens on this show. Evidently, the legalese is a little bit different in the WWE universe. But of course, this was completely preposterous here. Cody tells Cena to check the fine print on the contract. It's not just a title match at SummerSlam. It is a street fight. That's cute. I like that. Right before he goes off to film Street Fighter, Cody Rhodes will be in a street fight at SummerSlam. I see what you did there. That's very clever. So now it's a street fight at SummerSlam. Cody poses with the belt. By the way, when I first heard street fight, I swear to God, if I hear fucking Fiend at SummerSlam, I'm going to put my fist through this wall right here. If I hear Fiend at SummerSlam, Cody poses with the belt. Cena is out cold on the floor and what appears to be some blood on his forehead. I couldn't get a great view. I don't know how much of it there was. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. But there appeared to be some blood on Cena's forehead. Now, Netflix ain't going to like that. Don't tell the studio. They'll pull him for the rest of the year. As if we get a lot of them as it is. I think adding a stipulation was needed in this match. Their match at WrestleMania was fucking god-awful. truly one of the worst WrestleManias of all time. WrestleMania main events, I should say. One of the worst WrestleMania main events that we have ever seen. And so you can't just run it back as a regular match. You're going to have some kind of stipulation. You're going to have to smoke and mirrors. Let them use the tables and the chairs and the kendo sticks and all the bullshit that we see every single week and every single promotion on every single television show. It's so played out, but you need it. You have to have it here. And are we going to see other people getting involved? Are we going to see a Travis Scott? Are we going to see somebody else? Is Randy Orton going to get involved? Probably not. I mean, he's got his own thing going on, but I am still hoping that coming out of this, we will kind of circle back to the Cody and Orton stuff after what we saw at the King of the Ring. I certainly hope that's not the end of the two of them. But it being a street fight opens it up to any number of possibilities now because there's no disqualification. Frankly, making it a street fight also makes it a little more likely that John Cena is going to retain at SummerSlam, which I'm really hoping he doesn't. If you're going to put the title back on Cody, just do it already. But it does make it more likely that somebody may try to screw Cody over, and then it just becomes a matter of who that person is. So I don't mind them adding the stipulation. I do think it was needed. How we got to this and the angle they did at the end, obviously, I know it's wrestling, but I mean, it's still ludicrous. But by the way, again, I want to just reiterate that this was the only show you're going to see John Cena on for the entire month of July. We are not going to see him again until the go-home show. The very last show before SummerSlam is the next time that we will see John Cena on TV. And I will point out to you that Jelly Roll will have more appearances to promote SummerSlam than the WWE Champion. So let that sink in. Whatever you think of Jelly Roll or the Jelly Roll angle, he's putting the work in. Not only at the Performance Center, apparently, and he's getting pointers and training with people like Jacob Fatu and The Undertaker, but he's doing mainstream media appearances and plugging SummerSlam. He's showing up on all the shows. He wasn't there this week, right? That was the big angle the other night. That was his appearance. But he'll be on the show next week, and I believe the week after that. Good on him. We don't get to see the WWE champion nearly as often. So I thought this show was a mixed bag. There were parts of it where I thought it was pretty dull, but there were parts of it that I liked. So, you know, it was good overall. Not great, but it's just infinitely better than it was when it was 3 hours. I mean, seriously, even the parts of the show that I find dull, and there are going to be parts like that. There are going to be weeks where I don't like SmackDown. There are going to be weeks where I love SmackDown. But it's just, it's so much more digestible in the two-hour format than the drawn-out three-hour format that we had before. Because we're a few weeks now into the 2 hours again, and I just wanted to point that out, that I appreciate that. I have not forgotten what those three-hour shows were like. It would have been this, but just stretched out for an extra hour. Thank God we don't have that anymore. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown from San Antonio tonight? 74.5% thumbs up. 25.5% thumbs down. At Solomonster. It's where you can go to vote. You guys know the drill. Let's get into your Super Chats. We are at 321 likes. So let's work on that. Let's try to get that up. You want to do Be the Booker. It's the only way to do it. SmackDown. Flamethrower. Fluff Salisbury is with us. Haven't heard from the Flamethrower in a while. What's going on, Fluff? Random question, he says. Who used to throw Steve Austin beers back in the day? His completion rate was better than most NFL QBs back then. That would be Mark Yeaton, the former timekeeper, who I think worked for the company for 29 years, 30 years, something like that, and he was fired a number of years ago. But yeah, Mark Yeaton is the one. Mark Yeaton is the one who actually ate the superkick at WrestleMania 12 during the Iron Man match. If you remember, there was a moment during that match where they were outside the ring, and Bret Hart was pressed up against somebody outside. Here comes Sean. Bret ducks. The guy he super kicked was Mark Eaton. Today's episode is sponsored by Factor. I don't know how it's been where you are, but summer's been a scorcher so far here in New York. Thankfully, we made it past that last heat wave, and I've been trying to take the time to get out and enjoy it, which is why the last thing I want to be doing is spending hours in my kitchen cooking dinner every single night. That's where Factor comes in. Factor meals are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes, and the whole thing could not be easier. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, making them perfect for any active lifestyle, not just this summer, but all year round. With 45 weekly menu options, you can pick gourmet meals that fit your goals. Choose from options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day with nutritious breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and my favorite, guilt-free snacks and desserts. That's your entire day taken care of right there. You don't even have to think about it. So enjoy more this summer. If you want all the flavor without all the fuss, Factor's got you covered. One of my favorite Factor meals was just in the last few months. I mean, I've enjoyed them all. I'm the one picking them from the menu, obviously. I'm going to pick what I like, and there's plenty to choose from. But my favorite by far was the sesame teriyaki filet mignon. If I spend 2 minutes trying to make anything and it comes out as good as this did, I'm definitely sticking with it. Plus, I like that I can eat healthier and at the same time actually enjoy what I'm eating, and I don't have to feel guilty after I'm done. And also, you know, with my streaming schedule lately, in all honesty, I just can't afford to be tied down during the week to spending any length of time making dinner. You know, on the weekend, sure, maybe, but weeknights are tough for me. So I appreciate how convenient Factor makes everything. Just heat it up in 2 minutes and it's ready to go. Factor takes care of the hard part. Let them take care of it for you too, with this exclusive offer for Solomonster Sounds Off listeners. Get started at factormeals.com/solomonster50off and use code solomonster50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code solomonster50off at factormeals.com/solomonster50off for 50% off plus free shipping. factormeals.com/solomonster50off. JS Warrior 19 with the $20 super chat. It's my 32nd birthday today. I live in Houston. Raw and NXT next week. Going to take my little girls to both shows. Well, happy birthday, JS. I hope it's a great one. 32. So they're still in Texas next week because they were in San Antonio tonight. So I guess they're in Houston next week. That's right. And then Cleveland is getting SmackDown next week. Well, enjoy the shows. Actually, one of our listeners, if you listen to the podcast, you might know the name Brian Becerra. Big B himself, he was at the show tonight. Actually, he might have been in the front row. He tweeted me a photo. He was right there at ringside. I should have asked him if he had to take out another mortgage on his house just to get those seats and go to the show. But enjoy, brother, and happy birthday. Dry Chicken with the $2. John Cena versus Cody Rhodes, he says, in a Street Fighter. Yes. That's exactly what it is. Also, we've got Joe Chilton. Whoever booked the 15-minute match on Saturday night's main event doomed both Gunther and Goldberg. Should have been 3 minutes tops. I don't know about doomed. It's the best Goldberg match in years. I thought, actually, it was like a miracle they pulled off the match that they did. He should have been very happy with the match that he got. Well, I'll get into Goldberg on Sunday. You bet your ass I will. We'll be talking about Goldberg a lot on the podcast on Sunday. It will not be one to be missed. Also, he says, MFT equals Nepo Family Tree. You're not happy with Talatonga? You're not appreciating Talatonga and Tongaloa? The Mount Vernon Kid with the $5 super chat. I couldn't stop laughing at the unrealistic depiction of police officers. Why, Solo? They actually apologized. They took accountability. Well, again, the WWE universe is a very unique place. Thank you, brother. Man, Jungle Batman is going crazy tonight. Look at this guy. I love it. Another $9.99 right here. Do you remember the movie I Know What You Did Last Summer with Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Freddie Prinze Jr., and Ryan Phillippe. Yes, I saw it when it came out. Actually, there's a new one out now, and I would like to go see it, but I feel like I need to go back and watch the first, at least the first, if not the first two. I think there was a third. I never saw that one. So I don't know if I'm going to see the new one or not. I'd like to, but I'm not going to go see it until I've had the chance to go back and watch the first one. Because I want to make sure I pick up on whatever little callbacks there may be. I'll tell you what I'm really interested in seeing. And after I saw the trailer this week, I'm super pumped. Is Mortal Kombat 2 with Johnny Cage as the title character. That trailer was fucking awesome. That comes out in October, I think the 24th. And I'll definitely be seeing that one. Jungle Batman says, how different TNA would look today if Paul Heyman had gone there instead of returning to WWE. You know, that's a great question, and it almost happened. Billy Corgan was, literally begging Dixie Carter. Like, take the meeting, talk to him. There was interest there. But she was so hesitant to give up control. And Heyman's talked about, like, he had these ideas all mapped out for what he would do with the roster, and it just never happened. Had he come in and been the creative force in TNA, TNA would look very different than it does today. I think it would be even bigger than it is today, honestly. Man. He says, in order, which one is your favorite Rocky movie? From Rocky 1 to Rocky Balboa. I didn't see the last one. I didn't see Creed. Like, some of the recent ones I didn't see. I saw Rocky Balboa, though. My personal favorite, this is me, is Part 4 with Drago. So for me, I would go 4, 3, 1, 2, probably Rocky Balboa, and then Part 5 with Tommy, right? Tommy the Machine Gun. Was that Part 5? Probably in that order. Buy or sell, Rocky or Rambo? Rocky. And why did we never get a Goldberg versus Macho Man match in WCW? Because Macho Man wanted to be able to continue his career for a few more years. He was not ready for his career to end. I don't know. It just never materialized. Simple as that. I think also, I feel like Goldberg got white hot around the time when Savage may have been out with that knee injury. And that may have had something to do with it. There was a period of time there where Savage went away for a while. When he came back, he was so swelled up. Like, he was on, clearly he was on steroids, like, to the max. And I just completely ignore that era of his career. I did not like Savage during that period. That just was not him. You know, he was coming out, he was all jacked up, and he had the different women with him and everything. I'm like, this is... He could barely move. But he missed some time. And I feel like it was during that period where Goldberg was really getting hot. Oofman Entertainment will be going to WWE Night at Citi Field on Monday. Jey Uso bobblehead plus Tiffany Stratton and Nia. Tiffany Stratton again. You know, after the last time Tiffany Stratton appeared at Citi Field and threw out the first pitch, we went on this horrible losing streak. Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax will be at Citi Field. Let's go Mets. Nia Jax, huh? Maybe it'll have the opposite effect and we'll go on like a great win streak now. Jungle Batman, how would WCW look if Bret Hart did not join in 1997? They would not have looked much different than they did. Bret Hart's impact on WCW as a whole was not very great. I'm sorry to say. GMB. The Tiff Jade build is so weird because I feel like both are way more natural heels. but are faces at the moment. One has to turn before 2026. What are your thoughts? I agree, and it's Tiffany in particular who comes off very heelish. Even in that video package tonight, like in her comments, just her cadence and the way she delivers her promos, she does come off very heelish, more so than Jade. But I feel like if either of them were going to go heel sometime in the near future, Jade is more likely than Tiffany. Retro KOH, I wonder how Goldberg feels about Kurt Angle's retirement and Taker's empty warehouse retirement. He should stop crying. You know what I love about this? And I'll give you a little teaser here, but you know what I love about this is, and I've seen people say, well, you know, Goldberg's retirement speech got cut off. That's never happened before. And there were a couple of people, columnists or whoever, who brought up Sting. And I'm like, you know, Sting was able to go out there and have his retirement speech. I'm like, were you watching the same thing that I was watching? Sting's retirement speech got cut off. The fuck are you talking about? Literally, his retirement speech also got cut off, and that was on pay-per-view. As if something like that has never happened before. I must be watching a different show than some of these people. Jungle Batman, do you think Sting is Hulk Hogan's greatest rival? No. Do you remember when the Ultimate Warrior debuted in WCW? Unfortunately, yes, I do. Do you remember when Sting and Ultimate Warrior teamed up on WCW Nitro and went against Hollywood Hogan and Bret Hart? Vaguely, I know it happened, but I don't... I'm sure I watched it at the time, but... I honestly haven't even thought about it since it happened, so vaguely. I vaguely remember it. We got Ace Italiano, 88. Do you think Julia will defend her title at SummerSlam or just continue to be irrelevant? Well, she certainly was irrelevant tonight, wasn't she? I don't see her defending it at SummerSlam. No, I don't. But clearly, she and Zelina Vega are going to have a rematch, at least on TV. Zelina eliminated her from the Battle Royal at Evolution. So their issue is not over yet. Jungle Batman again. Were you a fan of Eddie Guerrero's WCW run? Yes, I was. Especially when he went heel. Were you a fan of Rey Mysterio's run in WCW? Of course. Rey Mysterio was one of the most fun parts of the Cruiserweight division to watch at that time. He was having kick-ass matches on Nitro every week. You know, guys like Hogan brought the star power, and guys like Rey and Eddie, Jericho, those were the workhorses on the show. Dean Malenko, Fit Finlay. You got a nice mix. That's what made that Nitro formula work so well. There he is, Habili, with a $196 super chat. So it's just shy of $200. Habili, you're the man. It says, what's up from Brisbane, Australia? It's Saturday, the 19th of July. It is the 20th anniversary of what people say is the greatest three-way match of all time. And this year we have seen two at WrestleMania. So buy or sell or rent on the greatest. Joe, AJ, and Daniels, Roman, Punk, and Seth, or Rhea, Io, and Bianca. I mean, they're all great matches. I mean, AJ, Joe, and Daniels was very influential. You probably could find a lot of wrestling fans or even wrestlers right now in the business who would tell you that, and they're young enough where they were either growing up and that was like the match that got them hooked, or the match that convinced them that they wanted to be a wrestler. You know, it was one of those types of matches. I have seen it, and it's a great match. You know, the two matches we had at WrestleMania this year were really good. I really love that women's match. But I mean, the TNA match, again, it's just, it's a classic match for a reason.
That's, he's talking about the Unbreakable match from 2005. I have to buy on that. I'll rent on the women. I will sell on Roman, Seth, and Punk. They're all great matches. I love that women's match. To me, that was the match of the weekend at WrestleMania this year. I think I hold that even in higher regard than the main event from night one. And frankly, I don't know that you're ever going to see a better main event from one night leading into an opener on the second night than what we got at WrestleMania this year. Because they close with the Roman match and they open the next night with the women. I mean, find me the last time they close and then open with as great of a combo as they did this year. Duff's Vids. In a major breakthrough, scientists have successfully grown human vocal cords. The results speak for themselves. Vocal cords speak. Venom Kitetsu says, Shrooms solo. And SmackDown, 37 on Sunday. Cheers. Shrooms solo and SmackDown. What a combo. I mean, what more do you need? Maybe some booze and some ladies, and that's it. You're good to go, man. Happy birthday. Happy early birthday. I hope it's a great one. You'll get to spend it with the sound off on Sunday. There you go. Pisco Sour, 95. I can already see the bullshit. Cena versus Cody at SummerSlam. Fiend starts playing. Travis Scott comes out, but instead of helping Cena, he helps Cody. There's your double turn. If you could think of a worse one. Oh, there are lots of terrible scenarios that could play out here. That one would be particularly horrible. There is no need for Travis Scott to be a part of any turns whatsoever. Ever again. Duff's Vids, what did the cannibal choose for his last meal? Five Guys. Oh, man. Jungle Batman, would TNA still have been here if Paul Heyman went to TNA and took over creative at TNA? You just said TNA a whole bunch of times. Yes. Yes, I think they would have thrived. Maybe not with him running the business, but creatively with him, I think in the catbird seat, I think they would have done very well. Jungle Batman, would AEW still be here if Paul Heyman had went to TNA? If Paul Heyman had went to TNA and took over creative at TNA, I mean, it's impossible to know. I'm going to say yes. There still would have been another wrestling promotion that would have sprouted up. Of course, it's just one of those things that's just impossible to know for sure. Jeremy Rose with the five. What was more shocking to you? Scott Hall's Nitro appearance or CM Punk returning at Survivor Series? Scott Hall's Nitro appearance. Shocked the entire wrestling world. Jeremy also says, teenage me thought Scott Hall was invading Nitro. Did you ever fall for that? Obviously, the dirt sheet smartened me up. Late 90s wrestling was so good. Yeah, I was following some of that at the time. There were some newsletters that I was subscribed to online, like email newsletters, the Slammer and stuff like that. I remember I wasn't sure. It was done very well. Because he still had the Razor Ramon accent and everything. And it led to all the lawsuits and stuff. But it was very convincing. Jungle Batman. Were you a fan of Miss Elizabeth in the NWO? And why was she paired with Lex Luger? That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but no, I wasn't. I like to remember Miss Elizabeth as the First Lady of Wrestling in WWE. Not running around with the NWO as a heel. I choose to forget that. I like to pretend that never happened. Bobby Means, where would you rank Undertaker against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam 2015? I don't know where it ranks, but I mean, it was a good match. It's not top 10 or anything. And Duff's Vids, what do you call an angry carrot? A steamed vegetable. Very good. Official Pikachu, are you going to see the new Mortal Kombat 2 movie? Yes, I am. I just talked about that before. I saw the trailer. I thought the trailer was awesome. And I do plan on seeing that movie when it comes out. Actually, I think it's going to be in IMAX. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll see it in IMAX. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks exactly like what I would want a Mortal Kombat movie to be. Popped in the part of the trailer where we saw Scorpion. And you hear the old, get over here. And then we hear the song from the Mortal Kombat soundtrack from the 90s at the very end of the trailer. Brought back a lot of memories. All right, we are currently at 404 likes. So we have hit the goal for Be the Booker tonight. Very well done. My thanks to Havili for the bomb and for Jungle Batman, all the many super chats and questions tonight. You guys and everybody else, you guys are awesome. But it's time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
It is that time, ladies and gentlemen, to be the booker. It's time that we book some matches here on YouTube. That's what we're here for. We're here. We got the brooms out. Brooms right over here. Ready for a clean sweep. If we can make it happen. Is that Havili chiming in again? Havili. I'm going to get to Havili in a second here. Again, thank you for all of the super chats. Again, the special amounts are in the description down below. We got some new ones as well. If you fancy that, it will say new next to them. So just be aware of that. All right, let's book some tag team action here, shall we? We're going to start with the former World Tag Team Champions on Raw. This was a real team for a brief period of time back in 2006. Ric Flair and Rowdy Roddy Piper were former tag team champions. And they will be defending those titles against the Twin Towers of the Big Boss Man and Akeem, which means that we're going to get to hear Jive Soul Bro, which is an automatic bell, as far as I'm concerned. One of the greatest theme songs of all time. All right, women's Be the Booker, we have Alexa Bliss. This is from her Goddess days. Alexa Bliss is with us. And Alexa Bliss, where's Bliss Fan at? Alexa Bliss is going to be in action, and she is going to be going one-on-one with one Tiffany Stratton. That may well be a match that we see on SmackDown, even before this year is over. And in our main event of the evening, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to rumble? Because we are beginning with the phenomenal. We are going into the weekend of all weekends with the phenomenal AJ Styles, who will be at Slammiversary on Sunday night. But before he gets to the UBS Arena, he's in the Sound Off Coliseum here in Be the Booker. Let's book a match for AJ Styles. Oh, it's yawning Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is bored by this match, and he has ruined what would have been a clean sweep. You know, it's not very often that if you have AJ Styles in your main event, you're going to end up buzzing it. But I mean, look at this guy. How can I not? Look how bored, look how tired he is. Look how bored he looks. This was him watching Dynamite, by the way. This actually aired on TV. He was at the show watching watching Dynamite, yawning in the middle of a match. This close. We were this close. Well, whatever AJ Styles is going to be doing on Sunday, it can't possibly be this bad. Linkmaster X, he says, the Beast Mentos. The just change his name. He comes down to the ring. You know, that'd be a great gimmick for him. Beast Mortos comes down to the ring. He's on this vicious losing streak. He looks very lethargic in the middle of a match. Like, he just pops a Mentos and just becomes this wild beast and starts going nuts. Just all these fucking tornado dives and shit, like, you know. Then he wins the match and he's got the Mentos in his hand. He gives the thumbs up. Oh my God, that gimmick would get over like Rover. I'm telling you, man. Yep. Rocky Maivia beat Triple H for his first Intercontinental title with a roll up. I wouldn't say that necessarily kickstarted their feud. Really, it goes back to the DX and Nation rivalry. That's really what ignited their feud. And from that came the ladder match at SummerSlam. But it was all the stuff with DX and the Nation in the summer of 98. That's really what did it. Remember Bob Holly in his book talking about how pissed Randy Savage was? Yes, well, I read the book. I did a whole review on the book. I interviewed Bob. And I remember him talking about that. But yeah, that was always the story. And Bob, well, Bob was going to be in the 10-man tag, you know, Thurman Sparky Plug. He was going to be one of the members of the 10-man tag that got bumped off that show. So he was there that night. And yeah, Savage was not happy that Shawn and Razor took so much more time than they were supposed to. Ken was at SummerSlam 98. Says the ladder match stole the show. Oh, easily, yeah. Best match on the entire show, easily. Then Austin got knocked out during the main event. Yeah, that was a rough situation. What else did they have on that show? I vaguely remember was there a dumpster match for the tag titles? Kane and Mankind maybe against the Outlaws? Oh, Jeff Jarrett got his head shaved, right? He had that hair match with X-Pac. That was on the show. What else was on that show? D'Lo. Was D'Lo in the opener against Val Venus? Was that the match? Sable, right? Sable and Mero. Maybe there was like a mixed tag of some kind. I'm trying to remember this SummerSlam 98 card off the top of my head. Linkmaster X, you know, Austin won an IC title with a roll-up. He did. Those were special circumstances, but yes, he did. And he was never the same after that. Tama Tonga Superfan. What does Tama Tonga have that very few wrestlers possess? A brother who is probably more popular than him. The great Tongaloa. Jeremy Rose says, hypothetically, let's say Santana comes to WWE in the future. Would you buy or sell an initial WWE feud with Jericho to put him over with the WWE audience? With Jericho? Are you willing Jericho back to WWE? How about no? Because his association with Jericho in AEW did wonders for him, right? Yeah, let's not do that. Randy Bobandy So my Orioles looking to make some trades before the deadline. So just curious, buy, sell, rent, leave on the shelf as a Mets fan. In order, who would you want? Cedric Mullins, Ryan Mountcastle. Some of these names, it's like they got them from NXT. By the way, we designated Dickie Lovelady for assignment. The Mets did, so it's a sad day. And Felix Batista, he says. Oh, and Zach Ellen. I don't even know who some of these people are. I'm not going to lie. I have no eyes. Maybe Mullins, though. And Batista. I don't know. Maybe Batista, then Mullins, then Mountcastle, then Zach, maybe. Maybe in that order. Mays the Great, 48 months of membership. What would you trust more? Hogan to tell the truth. An investment from... Oh, Hogan to tell the truth. An investment from Lenny Dynasty. I think you mean... Do you mean... You mean Dykstra? Who's Lenny Dynasty? Mickey Callaway to manage a bullpen. Anything but Hogan to tell the truth. I'm buying on anything except Hogan telling the truth. And Duff's Vids. Who are your top three, if not five, stand-up comedians? This will be my homework. Wish I could donate for the $35 Mama Wayne Super Chat. No option on iOS. Really? That's odd. That's very strange. Why would there be no option on iOS? I mean, there's one for $25, right? You see that one for Brie Mode. Why would there be no $35 one? Well, anybody else, let me know if you have the same issue. Stand-up comedians, I mean, I'm not going to rank them or anything, but George Carlin, I mean, he's the man. I mean, Carlin was just, he was the best. A lot of times, like, there'll be a routine of his that will come up on my YouTube feed, and I'm just sitting here for 15, 20 minutes just watching the whole thing, and it's unbelievable how relevant so much of his content is even today. So Carlin is on there for sure. I don't know. I mean, like, Eddie Murphy's great. Richard Pryor. You know, I used to like Sam Kinison. But yeah, I mean, to me, Carlin's that guy for me. Jeremy Rose says, initial thoughts for a young solo, NWO or DX. Who did you prefer? NWO. That version of DX, though, from 98 when Triple H took over, is my favorite incarnation of DX, though. But I got to go NWO. Until it got, it got ridiculous eventually, but up until that point. But just to go back to the stand-up comedians for a second, who was the, was it Jeff Foxworthy? No, I don't know. I don't think it was Jeff Foxworthy. Who was the one that had the, there's your sign? God, what was that guy's name? I don't think it was Foxworthy. Somebody will tell me in the chat. Arabian Night, in my opinion, Triple H has done a poor job of building a lot of NXT 2.0 class, i.e. Waller, Theory, Melo, Escobar, Dragon Lee, and Pretty Deadly. Would a young new breed faction work? It could, if he cared enough to actually push it. I mean, a lot of the people you just named are not getting any type of significant push on TV. So what makes you think that a faction, including a lot of these people, would excite him enough to actually put his muscle behind it? Bill Engvall. Thank you. I see. I knew people would know. Bill Engvall. Havili with another $32 drop. Says it was a handicap 2-on-1 no holds barred match, the New Age Outlaws against Mankind and Kane. Kane turned on Mankind. In your knowledge on what match went long when
We were supposed to have the six mix match at WrestleMania 29. I don't remember. I don't remember. There was a match at WrestleMania, right? There was a six-person tag. I don't know if it was male or... might have been the women. There was a match, right, that got cut around WrestleMania 28 or WrestleMania 29. I don't remember what match would have gone over, though, to cause that. Sometimes it's not even just one match. I mean, it could just be, you know, one match goes a little bit long and then another match ends up going a little bit long. I don't remember what one specific match it may have been, though. Linkmaster Eddie Griffin is great. Russell Peters, too. Venom Kitetsu, Bill Hicks, ever do it for you? Eh, not really. Jeremy Rose, after watching Phoenix and Andrade, give me the Lucha Bros. I don't care how they get there. And Maze the Great, any memories of the 92 Mets? Who many refer to as the worst team money could buy. Surprisingly, no, actually. I have no memories of the 92 Mets. That's probably why. Anyway, thank you guys for hanging out with me here on a Friday night. It's been fun. And Havili, thank you for all the bombs. And Batman and everybody else. Some great questions in there. Try to answer some more of your questions on the podcast as well in the mailbag for episode 921 on Sunday, the Solemn Monster at gmail.com, of course, is the email address where you can send. If you have questions or comments for the show, even if they don't make the show, I try to read everything that comes in. The next time I'm live with you is going to be, if you missed it at the beginning of the stream, Sunday night. You're getting a Slammiversary review. TNA Slammiversary is going to be here in New York at the UBS Arena. The return of the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, and perhaps JC Jane will become the TNA Knockouts champion because it is a winner-take-all match against Masha Slamovich, even though I'm picking Masha to win. Looks like a good card. I'll be here live for the review when the show is over, so you get two podcasts on Sunday and then back here on Monday night for the usual Raw post-show as we are on the road to SummerSlam. So hopefully we'll start the week off in a strong way. I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy your weekend. Be well. Stay safe. And I will see you for episode 921 Sunday afternoon at some point, and then Sunday night right back here on YouTube for the Slammiversary review. Until then, get ready to fly.